Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is Wednesday and time for Deborah Leanne, that's me, and the Wednesday Wisdom Radio Show. Hi, yay, yay. I don't know why I'm normally a bit excited or anticipatory when I begin this podcast, but this is, I have more butterflies than normal. And I have a feeling it's because this opening into the fullness of me, the authenticity and vulnerability that is involved in this process is, it's not real comfortable for me. So I want you to know that even if I sound like this is easy in any way, shape, or form, it's not always easy. Some days are definitely easier than others. So let's begin by getting present. And I do this exercise as much for me as I do for everyone listening. And if you are able to and can take a bit of time and truly monotask, which is basically being with this time in the most pleasurable way you can, which could be with a cup of tea or sitting outside or sitting with your eyes closed. Let's do this journey of going within and getting present together. And if this isn't the right time, then by all means, you know, sometimes I have to listen to something with my head, and then when I go back to listen to it later, I can hear it on a deeper level when I take the time to focus on it. So we'll begin by feeling your feet, feeling the soles of your feet, allowing there to be an energetic awareness of the brilliance of our feet holding us in place, and the support of the Mother Earth and her magnetic, electromagnetic energy, that gravity that holds us in place, constantly supporting us, and offering gratitude to that. Slowing down your breath and mine, and breathing in through the nose, and allowing your belly to get big and round, and then exhaling through your mouth. And two more. In through the nose, and exhaling through your mouth. And this last time, if you can exhale loudly with a sigh, do. It allows a bigger release of the stagnant energy and allows for more clarity and cleansing to take place. So in through the nose and a louder sigh. Yes. And I'm going to ask that you call your energy back from anything that you were working on prior to this moment, anything that's going to be happening after this time together, the next 20 to 30 minutes, and allow your chance to settle. Allow your body, your energy, your emotions, your intellect to just come into this moment, focusing on your breath, focusing on your feet, wiggling your hips back and forth if you're sitting in your chair, claiming this space and time right now as your own. And calling back all of our energy in a way that allows us to be full and whole and holy. And welcoming ourselves back into ourselves. All of that energy that's scattered out there and in front of us and behind us in the past. And just if you want to actually take your arms, I do this, and reaching out in front of me, I gather my energy back in, and I pull it back in, and I allow it to land in my stomach, my solar plexus, and down in that beautiful pelvic bowl region between my hips. From this space, we can center, we can calm ourselves, we can call ourselves into the beauty of this moment, which brings a different level of appreciation and gratitude. This is where we can hear divine inspiration. This space is where we can talk to our inner wise self or our counsel. This is also where we can just be still and heal. When I first heard that quote years ago, be still and heal, it scared me because I was brought up that you are to be busy and that there's awards and acclaim about how busy you could be. And after last month's savoring of September and slowing down, I have such a different appreciation for being still and realizing that it's just as important as taking action. And that's what October and the scales of Libra are about, right? She holds the scales of the doing and the being, the masculine and feminine, the intellect and intuition, the blending of our heart, body, mind, and soul into all of who we are, so we're not compartmentalized. Women are holistic in that way. And when we try to close one part off, like taking our family out of the picture and just focusing on something intellectual, for example, it doesn't really serve us. Because we're not going to take away, if we're a mother or a daughter or a best friend or a lover, that is who we are all the time. Even if we're at work, even if we're running, even if we're doing any kind of service in our community, no matter what, we are all of these roles. And the thing that I have found for October is that I'm opening to who more of me is. Let me explain what I mean by that. This originally happened about 10 years ago when I moved out from the marital home into a smaller home across the street. And it was relatively close to where I was married, and my children split their time between their dads and my house. It was very convenient for them. Yet it was really close and somewhat uncomfortable at times as my husband was dating and as I wanted to start leading a life that was away from him. The thing that was biggest for me was, who was I when my daughters were with their dad? I felt that my role of mother was cut in half. I had lost the role of wife and spouse, especially as the divorce became final. And little by little, I felt like a lot of my roles went away. My consultant projects came and went, and when I was in between projects, I was someone looking for a new project. When I was working in a project, I was that project. And again, I found myself defining who I was and what my life was like based on my role, how I was showing up physically in the world. And each of those roles was in response to someone else's needs or someone else's problems or someone else's issues or project that I had been called into to handle for pay and not for pay, because I was still running a nonprofit those first few years. And the interesting thing for me was, as each of those doors came to, you know, they came to a natural end, each of those projects, each of those roles, each of those sometimes relationships, those were turning over and evolving as well, because the people I was hanging out with that were friends of my husband's, some of them chose no longer to hang out with me because I was this odd man out. I wasn't part of a couple. And so if it was a bunch of married couples, they didn't invite me. So some of, and there was actually one woman, a good dear friend, who she and her husband had known my husband for 20 years prior to me meeting them. They definitely stayed in Bob's camp, and that's cool. That's totally fine. But she admitted to me that seeing our marriage fall apart and end was scary for her, because it meant it could happen to anyone. So I was a reminder that marriages can have problems, and that they don't always go well. And that was uncomfortable for some people. So doors were closing, and those relationships were ending. Some of the people that I worked with at a long-term project for 4 years, I saw them regularly, weekly, if not more often. And as that project came to an end, that those relationships kind of stopped as well. A couple people continued to stay in contact, and we did some coaching together. But a lot of the other people, I stopped seeing, and that shifted the relationships. So then who am I if I'm not these people's friends, if I am not in response to a human resources emergency or an organizational change initiative or helping somebody complete their quality standards to meet an accreditation level? You know, who was I if I wasn't supervising practicum students for working on their master's? I mean, it was like all of a sudden all of that shifted. It's still shifting. Who am I now that my children are both in college? I don't have that daily motherhood responsibility. And now that I'm not in relationship with the guy I was with for 6 years, who am I when I'm not a girlfriend and a partner who cooks dinner and, you know, has a regular hiking buddy and activity partner to do things with? I mean, I do have girlfriends. Those kind of things are not going to shift. But the rest of the time, while I'm alone, this is who I live with. This is who I inhabit. And who is she? So there's no accident that in the last month I had to stop exercising due to some extreme pressure headaches that were worse during the exertion of working with the weights. And I'm so happy that the one trainer said, let's stop. Let's figure out what this is. When you learn what is causing those headaches, then we'll allow you to come back and work out. So it took me a while. I was kind of in denial, and I went and had a couple massages. I went for an acupuncture appointment. My preferred chiropractor was out of the country, and even the woman that she referred me to wasn't available for 2 weeks. And this whole, I call it crunchiness in my neck, was between the occipital ridge. So if you put your hand at the back of your skull, that fleshy part at the top of your neck where your neck meets your skull, and you massage there, you may find some tight spots. Well, mine, actually, the meridians from there reach all the way down and tie into my sacrum, and then all the way down below that into my gluteal muscles and my hip joints. So there's no accident that all of these things were starting to get impinged and were causing these pressure headaches at the top of my skull. Isn't that interesting? The crown of my head. And it was only during exertion, which to me was a sign to, I'm doing too much. So after welcoming the pain and asking what I needed to learn from it, I woke up one morning and had numbness down my left arm. And I hadn't felt like this since a car accident in my 20s, and I knew what it was. I knew it was definitely pinched nerve, which was good because I was beginning to wonder if I had some kind of brain tumor. You know how we get, so we sometimes go to the worst possible scenario. So the beauty of this was that it forced me to call another chiropractor, someone that I didn't know. And it was ended up being beautiful. She was an amazing acupuncturist. And the needles that she put in me from the top of my head all the way down to the soles of my feet put me into almost like a trance for over an hour. I laid on the table. I couldn't move. And when she came back in to start taking the needles out, it took me the longest time to come back. She said, "Man, what planet were you on?" I said, "I have no idea." But during that time, it opened, I hate to sound too mystical here, but it opened a portal to a new level of possibility, a new place that I wanted to explore within me. And I was excited. It brought about a new level of, it's kind of like falling in love. And I was having coffee with a woman this morning, and it was brilliant. She's so in love with what she does, and her business is exploding. And it's because you can feel it. She has that energy of someone who's newly in love, and they're glowing and radiating, and they're actually vibrating at a higher level because of that positive energy that they're exuding. We want to be around people like that, especially when our media is filled with so much that is anything but this high, positive, beautiful love energy. And that's where I have been able to tap into, is this place within me that I want, that is all about goodness and joy and bliss and enoughness, actually more of an abundance than enoughness. And it puts me in a state of almost blissful gratitude. This exercise has been so fabulous that it's almost like I want to spend more time in it throughout the day, which is, I think, probably a good thing, because mindfulness and bringing us out of our busy, 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 not thinking about who we are and what we're bringing forward to the world, that it's kept me in a place of calling me back to me, which allows me to be more authentic, which allows me to share and tell my truth. And I'm going to share this exercise with you. And feel free, because everyone has an opportunity to meet with me once for a complimentary session. So if this somehow gets you caught up in an area where you get stuck, or you would like some guidance or support on making this a practice of your own, feel free to reach out to me. Please do. So what I do is, it started some months back where I remembered a man. I was at a conference. We were actually in Switzerland, and we were crossing this tunnel underneath a very busy road from the main big palace hotel to this nightclub across the street. It was after the big gala was over, and there was an after party across the street and some live music. So I was walking over there with a friend, Dan, and as we're walking over there, he all of a sudden grabs me by the shoulders, pushes me against the wall, and plants this amazing kiss on me. This was shocking because we'd worked together for a couple years. I knew he was married. It was not something that I had ever encouraged or even thought about. I never thought of him in that way. I mean, he wasn't someone that interested me. But that level of surprise, the delight of it showing up in that moment, and the ending of it, like it just ended like, okay, I always wonder what that was like. And then he turned around and he walked off. And it left me stunned, but surprised and happy in a way. So this feeling, I've recreated that surprise and the delight, not necessarily the kiss because I don't remember that, but I remember that sense of, oh, I didn't plan that. It showed up out of nowhere. Can I just receive in that moment without questioning, without wanting to know how and why it happened, but just allow that delight and joy to land in my body? And then I tried to add more and more moments like that, where I woke up one time and my daughter was standing next to my bed with her big blue eyes right up next to mine. And it shocked me, but in a way that was so delightful, and we giggled and laughed, and it was a very connecting moment. And another time with my older daughter when she was about 7 months, we even have a video of this, which I pulled out and have played again and again and again, of her just giggling and laughing for 10 minutes straight. And it is the pure joy. That's all she wanted to do in that moment, was to giggle and laugh and connect with her brother. And she didn't have any words at that time to share with him how delighted she was to bask in his attention. And this was a way to keep him present with her. So she just laughed. And that was her whole purpose in that moment, was to just be joy. So I'm collecting all of these moments of joy and pure delight. And I just go in and I hold them in my heart, and I allow that love and joy and bliss and gratitude to just grow. And it fills me with a light and an energy that I can then allow to shine outside of my body. Like I am a beacon on a tower of light, like the lighthouse that's beaming out light for anybody who might be lost to see. And I have been playing with this and loving it and just allowing that light to get brighter and brighter and then sending it out and then going back within and allowing my light to get brighter and brighter. I'm not looking at where the light is going. I don't care who and where and how it touches people, because that's not my job. My job is to keep this light on for me. That is my purpose on the planet. And when I go to this place, I know that this is what I'm here to do. And I would love to allow somehow this, how to teach this to others. And I want to skip back because I ended a little bit early on the whole thing with my neck and my back. What I've learned is this space between our trapezius to up our the neck bones up into our occipital ridge. Those muscles in there that get so tight, and mine have been so tight, and actually there was a twisting and it needed to be adjusted, has allowed me to realize where I am holding my value and scrunching it and twisting it and keeping it from flowing naturally, as energy likes to do, up and down through all the way up to the top and out of my head and all the way down into my core and down into my pelvic bowl. And that energy was kinked there. And that is the whole area that I want to work with women on, is owning our value. So my vision and value and my voice have all been opened up in this last, it's been going on for years, but this last 2 months especially. And I believe this is a huge core to the work that I'm here to do in the Authentic Leadership Academy. Authentic presence and authentic voice, authentic truth-telling, owning our authentic value, our beauty, our brilliance, in a way that's unapologetic, in a way that is just, we're doing our job by being our brilliant, beautiful, smart, powerful, grace-filled selves. That sounds like a good place to stop. So, as I said earlier, if there's something here that speaks to you on some level, feel free to reach out to me or comment below, whether you see this on Facebook or on Blog Talk Radio or in LinkedIn or wherever this link shows up for you. If it speaks to you, I would love to hear that from you. The other thing is, if someone comes to mind while you're listening to this, please share it. I believe that this kind of message is so important for women to get, that we are way more than a hologram of everyone's expectations of us. And hologram has come through really big for me. I don't want to be a hologram anymore. I want to be a woman of substance, a woman that is planted deep beneath Mother Earth's core, but whose branches and fruit and offerings extend far beyond into the sky, holding and reaching hands with all the women I can touch, and men, and anyone who's ready for this message. So until our next time together, take excellent care of yourself. We need you. And shine your light. Thank you for being you. Bye-bye.